This is Genesis chapter 17. We see here the covenant of circumcision that God made with Abraham, or really God confirming the covenant, confirming the promises that had been made. Verse 1 tells us Abraham was 99 years old. Or can you remember his age in the last chapter? When Ishmael was born, he was just 86. Like we read in verse 25, Ishmael is now 13. So, of course, 13 years have gone by. The writer tells us nothing more about those 13 years. Just 13 years of waiting. No son, no sign of this great nation and great blessing which was promised. 13 years just waiting for God to bring his promise about. One of the hardest trials, perhaps, or one of the trials all Christians must face as long as this life continues is waiting. We will not see Jesus Christ during this life. We won't see the glory of God revealed to us. We won't see the world made new. We won't see the new heavens and the earth until we have waited till the end of this life or the end of this age, whichever comes first. But we have to wait for God. With Abraham, God let many years go by, many years, to see that Abraham had no power of his own. Many years to see the weakness of Abraham. And then at last the strength and power of God could be shown. Once everybody knew that Abraham, well, his body was dead, there'd be no children in the natural way, that Sarah's womb was dead, that she was barren, there'd be no children through the ordinary way. And it was very, very clear. Only then at last would God come and show his power. When we are weak, God is strong. When the weakness of man is known, God can then show us his way. We must wait for him. Now God appears to Abraham and calls himself the Almighty God. As we sang El Shaddai, God Almighty. God's had other names in these chapters. Last week, he was given the name, the God who sees me. Again, like we sang, the one who really sees. God who sees me. In the chapter before, Lord God. Chapter before that, God Most High. These names by which God reveals more of himself. He tells you of his power, of his greatness. Abraham's hope needed to be in God himself. Not in his own strength. Not that Abraham could see the future. Not that Abraham could see a way opening up. But in God himself. That's faith. Like God said, walk before me, walk with me, be blameless. Abraham's safety was in walking carefully with God. He's a great God. We must take care how we walk. All things are open before him. We are in his sight, we are in his presence. And he says, walk before me. God announced to Abraham his covenant. He told him again of the promises, and he gave him more information about them. And he changed Abram's name. Abram, that means father. But God said, now you'll be called Abraham. That means father of many. So, good name if you've got lots of children. Father of many. Abraham, of course, has no children yet. But God makes the promise even bigger before he brings it to him. He tells him again of the land that he'll inherit. He tells him that nations will come from him. He tells him that he will be his God. So verse 8, there's the land. Verse 7, his covenant with you and all those who come after you. Verse 6, I will make nations, even kings will come of you. Of course they did. Great kings like David defeated many enemies. Solomon, who reigned in great splendor and riches, and all the kings who came afterwards. Until at last, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, was one of the kings who came of this family. All these promises were leading at last to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through him that God is our God. He is the true son. You see, God made Abraham wait many years for a son, because at last was coming the true son. The true inheritance is not a piece of land, but it's God himself, and God will give us the heavens and the earth. God then told his covenant to Abraham. They're not bargaining, they're not discussing how it will be, but God says, here is my covenant. Here are my promises. Now walk before me. Now, God's covenants have signs. Later on, we'll do what? We'll have the Lord's Supper, which is a sign of the body and blood of Christ. God always gave signs for his covenants. When there was the flood, the time of Noah, afterwards there was a covenant and a sign. What was the sign? It was the rainbow. Now the sign of this covenant was circumcision. Today lots of people get circumcised. They do it because it's traditional, maybe for tribal reasons, maybe reasons of culture, or perhaps for medical reasons. But for Abraham, it was a sign of God's promises. So when he circumcised his household, it was because God said it's to be a sign. It's to be done on the eighth day. They were to remember that they were now a new people. That they were a separate people. They were a different people. They even had a mark on their body to make them different from other peoples. They were a people who had promises. When we have the Lord's Supper, we should remember the promises. Jesus is coming again. We declare his death until he comes. That Jesus' blood takes away all our sins. That whatever you've done, if you're truly sorry and you're repenting, then he takes away your sin. That Jesus did this for us. We're not good enough. But he gave himself for us. That Jesus himself loves us. He said, this is for you. These signs remind us of things. The sign on Abraham and his family told them they're a separate people. It told them that there was somebody to be born in their family. This sign done on that part of the male body was reminding them that one was coming who would be born amongst them. It told them that they must be cleansed. Often the prophets in the Old Testament said, your hearts need to be circumcised. That which is dead and old needs to be cut away. You need to have a new heart. Told them they were unclean even from birth. Even the boy of a few days old needed to have something cut off. And it told them the promises were to be given to their children. Like God said, this covenant is for descendants after you. It's for generations to come. Told them they were to pass it down from father to son until God had done all that he had promised. When you have the Lord's Supper today, will you remember what this sign is telling you? And that God's promises are sure. And we also must pass them on to our children. We must teach them also to repent and believe in Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. And so that they can join in with us. But the sign is nothing unless you have the reality. God needs to circumcise our hearts. He needs to place his Holy Spirit in us as a seal, as a testimony of certainty. We're part of this same people. Our salvation is from Abraham's child, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we come to verse 15 up to 22. God now speaks about Sarah and about Ishmael. Sarah and Ishmael. Now, Sarah was at first called Sarai, and that means my princess. My princess. So she was a princess, just her one. Maybe her father gave her that name. Her father's princess, but she became Abraham's. Abraham's, his princess. But God says now she'll just be called Princess Sarah, because she's going to be a princess to many. She's going to be a queen to many. She's going to be the mother of kings. The child would come from her. Now Abraham's, he asked then about Ishmael. Ishmael, the child from Hagar, from the servant girl. And he says in verse 18, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. What exactly is he asking? Is he saying the covenant, can it be with Ishmael? In the 13 years, had he put his heart on Ishmael, that this would be the promised one? This would be the chosen one? Had he given up hope of a child from Sarah? Abraham perhaps is showing some weakness here. Or perhaps he's asking, what about Ishmael's place in your plans? Is there nothing for him? Maybe he's asking for something more. But God graciously promises blessings to Ishmael. He says there'll be 12 princes coming from him. I'll bless him too. But Ishmael won't be part of the covenant. Ishmael won't be part of the promises to do with the Messiah. Ishmael's blessings will be in this life only. Sadly, many people would be happy for that. If you told them you can have many blessings in this life, you'll be the father of princes and kings, you'll dwell in peace, then they'd say, that's all I want. And they'll forget Christ and they'll leave Christ if they have those things. But what about you? Is your real hope in the promises of God? Are you really, you're happy to wait until Jesus makes everything new? That the blessings of this life, you rejoice if you have them, you thank God if you have them. Or you're patient when you don't have them and you don't complain because you're looking for a better kingdom to come. Beyond Ishmael, you're looking for Isaac. Well, verse 23 up to 27, we have Abraham's obedience. It says, on that same day, he took his son and all those in his household, the servants, every male, he circumcised them. What God had said, he did on the same day. There's times in our Christian life when we really feel that we've met with God, that God has come to us in a special way. That he's really shown us his promises and how wonderful they are. Times when we have much deeper fellowship with God. We should long for those times. But then God, he goes to a little distance again, it seems. But what do? We should do like Abraham. We should make sure we obey, that we're quick to obey. Like Abraham, we should fully obey. God had said every single male in your household, servants, Ishmael, all those who were born here, or those you purchased, every one of them. And that's what Abraham did. He was careful to obey. God especially wants obedience from us. Obedience is the great offering for every child of God to bring. Perhaps you don't have so many opportunities. Perhaps you think your gifts are small. Though you have gifts, everybody has gifts. But the great thing God wants is obedience. The prophet Samuel once said to Saul, he said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To listen is better than the fat of rams. rebellion is like the sin of divination. That's like a kind of witchcraft. Arrogance or pride is like the evil of idolatry. The best thing is to obey. The worst thing is to be stubborn and to refuse to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. The one who loves me is the one who obeys me. I will come to him. My Father will come. And we will make our home with him. Abraham had this great experience of God. But then when God went up, he made sure he kept the commandments. How about you? Is your life a life of obedience to God? Because that's the thing he looks for. That's the thing he wants. Now, Abraham still had to continue for a time without seeing the promises. Had to keep believing. But the time was going to have an end. Verse 21. My covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom God will bear to you by this time next year. The waiting may be long, but the waiting has an end. There's a song which we used to sing in England. It said that each night we put our tent a day's march nearer home. Each time it's the Lord's Day again, we're a week nearer home. 2012 has begun. We're a year nearer to being home with the Lord. Waiting is for a time, but soon we'll see him. But are we still believing? Are we still trusting? Are we still obeying? So that when we see him, we won't be ashamed, but we'll rejoice.